Welcome to worship with Pine Street Church at Home Edition on this second Sunday of Advent 2020. We're going to be talking about the spiritual theme of peace today, which is in traditional Christianity. It is the Sunday of peace, and we'll be talking about peace and using words from John the Baptist in the Gospel of Mark, as well as some words from the ancient prophet Isaiah, as we talk about peace, and also the words and the poetry of Maya Angelou that you'll be hearing about in just a few minutes. You know, sometimes I think, oh yeah, here's the book, by the way, right? If you want to order this book, Maya Angelou, The Complete Poetry, we are drawing from poems from this collection during this season of Advent. You know, sometimes I think about those of you who are watching out there and, you know, you wonder, what am I supposed to do as a result of watching this? What are some things I can do? I want to tell you a few things you can do as a result of watching this video. Oh, hey, Aiden.
Hi.
Welcome to Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition. There are a few things you can do. Number one, you can forward this email that you got this morning in your inbox to your friends and your family, anybody who needs a word of hope in these crazy, strange times. You can also, number two, you can also like anything that comes from Pine Street Church, Off-Broadway Preschool, which is our preschool, our ministry of Pine Street Church, as well as our brand new podcast ministry called Hyphenated Life. You don't have to share those things necessarily on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, but if you would just like anything that comes out of Hyphenated Life, Pine Street Church, Off-Broadway Preschool, it helps people know about what we care about, and it is a way of being digital evangelists progressively in this odd time. So please follow us, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Hyphenated Life, Pine Street Church, Off-Broadway Preschool. That's another great way to take action. Number three, you can become a member of Pine Street Church, what I like to affectionately call the Pinehead Society. If you want to become a Pinehead, want to be a member of Pine Street Church, you can do that. And I would love to talk to you about that. Write me at andrew@pinestreetchurch.net, and I would love to have a conversation with you about what it means to be a meaningful member of Pine Street Church. Number four, you can join a small group art brunch on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. with Waverly Matthews. Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m., our Men's Coffee Fellowship, and Thursdays at 1:30 p.m., our Oasis Women's Study Group. Those are four ways that you can take action as a result of watching this video today. And Advent is a great time of the year, it's really the new year of the Christian church. So if you want to set some spiritual goals, those are four things that you can do to take part in what this community is all about. Finally, I just want to say thanks to those of you who have already made a financial commitment to Pine Street Church for 2021. You might remember, some of you, our New Horizons 2021 Stewardship Series earlier this fall. And so it's our time to really, raise funding for our ministry and mission for next year, 2021. Thanks again to those of you who have given. If you have not yet made a financial commitment for 2021, you can go to pinestreetchurch.net/giving, click on the pledge button, and make your financial commitment that way. You can also, if you have received a commitment card, you can mail that into the church office at 1237 Pine Street, Boulder, Colorado. I'm so grateful that you have joined us today. Thank you for being part of this Advent season, this Advent worship. And we begin today with this prayer of invocation on this Sunday when we are talking about the spiritual theme of peace using the Gospel of Mark, as well as the ancient prophet Isaiah and Maya Angelou's poetry right here. Welcome to worship, everybody. God bless you. Thank you.
Thunder rumbles in the mountain passes, and lightning rattles the eaves of our houses. Flood waters await us in our avenues. Snow falls upon snow to avalanche over unprotected villages. The sky slips low and gray and threatening. We question ourselves, what have we done to so affront nature? We worry, God, are you there? Are you there really? Does the covenant you made with us still hold? Into this climate of fear and apprehension, Christmas enters. Streaming lights of joy, ringing bells of hope, and singing carols of forgiveness high up in the bright air, the world is encouraged to come away from rancor, come the way of friendship. It is the glad season. Thunder ebbs to silence and lightning sleeps quietly in the corner. Floodwaters recede into memory. Snow becomes a yielding cushion to aid us as we make our way to higher ground. Hope is born again in the faces of children. It rides on the shoulders of our aged as they walk into their sunsets. Hope spreads around the earth, brightening all things. Even hate, which crouches breeding in dark corridors. In our joy, we think we hear a whisper. At first it's too soft, then only half heard. We listen carefully as it gathers strength. We hear a sweetness. The word is peace. It is loud now. It is louder, louder than the explosion of bombs. We tremble at the sound. We are thrilled by its presence. It is what we have hungered for. Not just the absence of war, but true peace. A harmony of spirit. A comfort of courtesies. Security for our beloveds and their beloveds. We clap hands and welcome the peace of Christmas. We beckon this good season to wait a while with us. We, Baptist and Buddhist, Methodist and Muslim, say come, peace. Come and fill us and our world with your majesty. We, the Jew and the Jainist, the Catholic and the Confucian, implore you to stay a while with us. So we may learn by your shimmering light how to look beyond complexion and see community. It is Christmas time, a halting of hate time. On this platform of peace, we can create a language to translate ourselves and to each other. At this holy instant, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into the great religions of the world. We jubilate the precious advent of trust. We shout with glorious tongues at the coming of hope. All the earth's tribes loosen their voices to celebrate the promise of peace. We, angels and mortals, believers and non-believers, look heavenward and speak the word aloud, peace. We look at our world and speak the word aloud, peace. We look at each other, then into ourselves, and we say without shyness or apology or hesitation, peace, my brother. Peace, my sister. Peace, my soul.
Our gospel reading this week is from Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judea countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptizing by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
I'm thinking about the words from the prophet Isaiah, who writes, "A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of God shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of God has spoken." Thank you, Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. Hear the sound of a voice that says, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Well, if you don't consider yourself a particularly organized person, then you at least know what it's like to want to be. Whether you are someone who procrastinates or someone who always plans ahead, you know the importance of being, let's call it, well prepared. Before going on a long trip, anybody remember those? Like a car trip, plane ride, you prepare ahead by booking airfare and hotel, right? You might check the weather so you can know what to wear. You might know what it's like to prepare hard for an exam, only to take the test and have your mind go totally blank. And people who live on the West Coast or the East Coast, they have to be well prepared for, especially the East Coast, hurricane season, which just ended, thankfully. And like planning a wedding. Planning a wedding can add new meaning to what it means to be well prepared. And we want our kids to be well prepared for college. We want to be well prepared for retirement. Hello? It's only natural to want to be well prepared. In this time of the year, I think about my daughter Addison's birthday coming up on December 18. I think about an Advent almost 12 years ago where we were waiting for her to be born. The atmosphere pregnant with possibility in more ways than one. And remembering how I, as an about-to-be dad, was making lists, checking them like Santa Claus before his first ever toy tour, writing down names and numbers of when to call, who to call, when the fullness of time came for the one I call my precious human unicorn person to be born 12 years ago. I kept a bag packed just in case, full of blankets and baby wipes, drinks and diapers, clothes, and a camera, trying to keep the fridge full and the gas tank too. Going to the local fire station to have them teach me how to handle a car seat. Did you know you could do that? Of course, much like being a Christian, being a parent is a subject nobody ever masters, right? Even still, we want to be well prepared for something new to be born in our lives and into our hearts. It occurs to me that as much as I want to be prepared, and as much as I wanted to be prepared for our child to be really prepared when she came into the world, don't we all want to be prepared to receive Christ well? When Christ comes into the world. What are the ways, I wonder, if we were having a coffee conversation during this Advent season, what are the ways you are preparing to receive Christ, the child, in a few weeks? Today, our scripture lessons, the second Sunday of Advent, invite us to think about what it means for us to prepare the way of the Lord, to use the prophet Isaiah's words. Isaiah and John the Baptist, that we've heard from in today's gospel reading, they cried out to their respective generations with a call to hope in the face of despair. Each of these spokespersons for God, they both sort of had this bullhorn, right? And they faced the daunting task of opening closed ears and closed minds with a message of hope and peace that sounded maybe naive at best. Our reading from Isaiah, which we actually didn't read, but I quoted it to you at the beginning of the sermon here. Our reading from Isaiah is the opening word from the second half of his great book, and it also forms the opening lines of the tenor aria in Handel's Messiah. Some of you will recognize that. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. Nice words. Comforting words. But the people who first heard these words found little comfort in their circumstances. The Israelites had been in captivity in Babylon for decades when Isaiah uttered these words. And the deliverance he foretold would be yet years away before the people would see it through their return to Jerusalem. So how do you hope? How do you hope when you see no evidence to confirm it? No assurance you will see hope realized anytime soon. I know that we're all sort of thinking about that in our own personal ways, certainly nationally, as we, you know, hope for the time when vaccines are readily available to everybody. Well, it's not just a hope that things will get better. Godly hope is the confidence that God will be there even if things get worse. Now, we're living in the year of our Lord 2020, so, you know, just when we think things can't get worse, well, they sort of do. That's the way this year is going, right? It is a good and right thing to be as well prepared as we can be for all of life's changing and evolving circumstances. But it is ultimately about our being well prepared to receive the changeless Christ when He comes. And our hope is based on a confidence in the reality that circumstances can be different. Our hope is based on confidence in that, and Isaiah gives us good reason to believe that our hope soars highest when our despair is the deepest. Isaiah's hope soars high when he says, "See, the Lord comes with might, and His arm rules for Him." And in almost the next breath, Isaiah says, "He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms." What a wonderful maternal or feminine energy that we can feel even from the ancient prophet Isaiah. What a beautiful image that contrasts God's strength and human vulnerability. Our hope soars even when we are lame as lambs, because God has come well prepared to lift us up when, frankly, we can't lift ourselves up anymore. Dr. Maya Angelou's words today, this profound poet, I think she helps us here about this. Her words lift us up to understand better what peace means. Amazing peace. The words she wrote for the 2005 White House Christmas tree lighting ceremony. This sort of peace, she writes, not just the absence of war, but true peace. A harmony of spirit, a comfort of courtesies, security for our beloveds and their beloveds. We clap hands and welcome the peace of Christmas. We beckon this good season to wait a while with us. We, Baptist and Buddhist, Methodist and Muslim, say, "Come, Peace. Come and fill us and our world with your majesty. We, the Jew and the Janus, the Catholic and the Confucian, implore you to stay a while with us so we may learn by your shimmering light how to look beyond complexion and see community. It is Christmas time. And what Dr. Angelou writes is a halting of hate time. Can you imagine that? A halting of hate time. On this platform of peace, we can create a language to translate ourselves to ourselves and to each other. I like and love what our Advent devotional says on this week when we focus on the spiritual theme of peace. Peace can often be found when we listen closely to what we are feeling, to our feelings, to our emotions. Many people use an if feelings could talk chart to help figure out what's happening emotionally with us and what next steps might make most sense. Like, sadness might be telling me I need to cry. Loneliness, that I need connection. Resentment, that I need to forgive. Emptiness, that I need to that I need some creative time. Happiness, that I need to check in with my boundaries. Stress, that I need some Sabbath time. Try an intentional if feelings could talk conversation with family or friends, with or without a chart. In our Advent devotional, ask, what are you feeling? What next steps make sense? I'd love to ask you today, what are you feeling? Where are you emotionally? What do you need? The peace we long to have and to hold is inner peace. It's personal peace. And I've thought a lot about the Dalai Lama's language around this for 20 years or so. Essentially, the Dalai Lama believes world peace begins with inner peace. It begins with tolerance. It begins with compassion. And these days, I don't even love the word tolerance, because I think acceptance is a better word for that. And as I think through this on this Sunday when we contemplate the spiritual theme of peace, what does that mean? What does inner peace, personal peace mean in terms of how the world can be more peaceful? I love what Cynthia Rigby says. She was a professor at Austin Presbyterian Seminary, and when she was the mother of a two-year-old, she was expecting her second child at that time, and she wondered about her ability to comfort and love and hold two babies without dropping one. And she writes, how many lambs can the shepherd carry? Does the comfort of the mighty one ever run dry? While my capacity to comfort my children has exceeded anything I thought possible, I know there's a limit. The one, capital O, O-N-E, the one we are expecting has no such limits. That's the way it is when we are expecting Christ, the child, to come and reveal a God who has no limits on how many lambs can be carried in the shepherd's arms. The shepherd carries all of us, after all. John the Baptist believed it too. One mightier than I is coming, John proclaimed. And I mean, John was out in the middle of nowhere. Like when we hear today's gospel reading, John was out in the middle of nowhere doing his best to prepare the way of the Lord by trying to get hope to grow in the wilderness. And if you've spent any amount of time in West Texas, then you know how hard it is to get anything to grow out there. I spent some of my growing up years in West Texas, by the way, which is why I say that. It's hard to hope when you have been, you know, disappointed before. It's hard to hope when you are cynical. It's hard to hope when your finances have taken a hit or your health has taken a turn for the worse. And yet, even at these times, maybe especially at these times, we are invited to take the risk of hope anyway. To be open enough in our spirit that we might lean expectantly into the future. A future which only God could imagine, that only God could engineer and make happen, and only God could bring to reality. And in this sacred season of Advent, that's the invitation. That's the invitation to you and to me. Advent invites us to be honest about what gives us hope and what keeps us from hope. What gives us peace and what keeps us from peace. Advent invites us to admit that even when we think we have done everything we can do to prepare for what life might bring our way, sometimes we need the better prepared God who is mightier than us to come and to help us. Does anybody feel me about that? It's hard to admit that we need help, but that's just what John the Baptist urges us to do in today's gospel. Confession and forgiveness are wonderful ways to admit that we need God's help. Confession and forgiveness, well, they prepare us really well to receive Christ, to receive the big P presence in our lives even when we feel numb, when we're numbing out. And confession and forgiveness are sort of cleansing agents, I think you might say. It is no wonder that confession and forgiveness and water, well, they all go together. Whether that water comes in the form of tears, whether the water comes in the form of baptism or taking a bath, self-care. And so they all go together, confession, forgiveness, water. And it was the same thing with John the Baptist, who baptized people in the Jordan River while they confessed their sins. Confession and forgiveness, well, they both give us a fresh start. They give us a clean slate. And it's a great way to prepare the way of the Lord and create a straighter path from God's heart to our hearts. It helps us to see the broken places of our lives more clearly, in more open-eyed ways. It makes us confront the ways that we hurt. Tell me where the pain is. Tell me where it hurts. And also helps us to see how we hurt each other too. It helps us better see our own needs and the needs of the world. The Dalai Lama talking about that personal peace, the inner peace, and global peace. And that global peace can't come about without you and I becoming peacemakers. It prepares us to love really well. And so today, my friends, as we prepare the way of the Lord leading to Christmas, we are reminded that God comes to us as a child, vulnerability. And let me suggest that the way to prepare well to receive Christ the child is to prepare our hearts for peace. And no matter how well prepared we think we are, there will come times when life surprises us. Hello, 2020. When our best laid plans don't work out, like expecting company or expecting a baby, it would be nice to have everything in place before the arrival, right? But then there's this thing called reality, when reality does not conform to our expectations. And sometimes what you get is not less than you ever thought. Sometimes it is so much better than you ever thought. So here, my friends, on the second Sunday of Advent, we say with a hope that causes us all to pause for peace, that halting of hate time, as Dr. Angelou writes, to be peacemakers in our households, in our, you know, the household of God's good world. We light a candle. We say a prayer. We breathe in peace. We breathe out peace. And we can be prepared to prepare our hearts for peace. And to be prepared for a peace that only God gives. Because the reality is, as we say during Advent on our way to Christmas, right? Christ is coming. The Christ child is coming in vulnerability. That the Christ child is coming to show us what God is like. Christ is coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. Thank you for joining us for Pine Street Church at-home worship today. We're so grateful that you have. It is so good to be community together during this strange time. I know that we all want to be back together. I hope that you received our communication last Monday from our Leadership Council, which is the governing board of our congregation, talking about the COVID update along with a survey that we're asking you to fill out. Ahead of our December 13 community conversation, which will be about digital ministry, but it's interesting how digital ministry being in this kind of space also really goes together with the timeline of what it's going to look like eventually, sometime next year, for us to gather back together in person. So please check that out. If you've not yet filled out that survey, please do. You can check your email inbox from last Monday on that communication from our leadership council. As you go into this day, it is so important for you to remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are friends and disciples of Christ Jesus. And the love and the peace and the joy and the beauty and the justice and the generosity of God are forever at work and forever at loose through you, through your life. Go now and live like it is true. Amen.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be with God. Solemn vow to take each one.